Our sermon text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9. So if you're able, please rise again for the hearing of God's word, which we read in Jesus' holy name. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd, for they have been with me now 3 days and had nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away." And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven." And he directed the crowd to sit on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, having given thanks. He broke them and gave them to his disciples and set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate, and they were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces after 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples, and he went to the district of Dalmanutha. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for today, and thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for this passage in the gospel of this miracle of Jesus, of him multiplying a little bit of bread and some fish to feed a crowd of 4,000. Lord, but we thank you even more that this miracle points toward the cross. It points toward everything that Jesus came to accomplish for us. God, today, by your word, show us our sin and need for a Savior and point us to Jesus and his finished work. May we simply rest in it. And by your word, strengthen us, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, in our sermon text for today, we find a crowd, really a multitude of people that's been gathering together to hear the words, to hear the teachings of Jesus. And as things open up, Jesus has compassion upon the crowd because they've been listening to him teach for 3 days, but they haven't been provided with anything to eat. It isn't as if everybody had gone hungry for 3 days. Many of the people would have brought provisions with them. But after 3 days, everything would have been running low. So people would have been either out of food or nearly out of food. And in that moment of their physical hunger and of their need, Jesus has compassion on the crowd. And so he calls his disciples to him and he begins to speak to them, basically telling them that something needs to be done. The crowd needs to eat. There's no food here for them, but if they get sent away, they're going to pass out on their way home. Jesus tells them about the problem, but he doesn't tell his disciples to fix the problem. He doesn't gather them up into circles and say, "Brainstorm some ideas, come up with good solutions to feed the crowd." He doesn't tell his fishermen amongst his disciples to go out onto the boats and begin fishing to provide for the crowds. He doesn't tell them to seek out a baker or anything like that. Jesus just says, "We've got a problem. The people need to eat." But even though Jesus doesn't tell them to fix the problem, they are still struggling with it. And they say amongst themselves, "How can we feed people with bread in a desolate place like this?" You see, Jesus didn't tell them to fix the issue with the food because as Jesus told them about the need, he already had the solution figured out. He asked the disciples to give him the food that's available. It was a few fish and 7 loaves, and he broke it giving thanks and had it passed out to the crowd, 4,000 plus the women and plus the children. And from those few loaves and few fishes, everybody ate and they were satisfied. That meant they didn't get just a few little bites. They didn't kind of get enough to eat. It meant they ate until they couldn't eat anymore. They ate until they didn't want to eat any more food. They were satisfied by Jesus Christ. They were satisfied by his good gifts. You see, they were the passive recipients of the grace and mercy and love of Christ. It isn't as if they had found a way to satisfy themselves and fix their own need. Instead, this multitude, this great crowd was satisfied by Christ, by his boundless compassion and mercy and love and his grace. Now, over the course of our lifetimes, almost all of us falls into a little trap. And that trap is starting a collection, which for some of us leads to a house full of things that we really don't need. I remember my very first collection. I was younger than Seth, but probably a little older than Amelia, so maybe 5 when I started. I collected baseball caps. I had a room full of baseball caps. Any open space in the room had a new baseball cap on it. Every free cap I could get my hands on, I was getting. And my dad, he traveled a lot for work in those days, and so he would come back from business trips feeding my addiction with new hats from every company he had worked with over the past few months. After the baseball caps, after I had given up on those, I started on sports cards. It was basketball cards, and then it was my new favorite sport. It was football cards, and then I got into collecting even nerdier cards. I got into Star Trek and Star Wars cards, and in those days, I wasn't able to drive yet, but if I could find someone to take me to the card store, and I had a couple bucks in my pocket, I was buying as many packs of cards as I could get my hands on so that I could add more cards to my collection. While these two collections were very different, these two collections had one thing in common, and that thing was no matter how many I had of the caps or the cards, I always wanted more. You see, if I had 100 hats, I just wanted one more hat, and once I hit 101, I wanted the next hat for the collection. When I opened a fresh pack of cards, it made me want to open another fresh pack of cards and then scrape up the money to buy a whole box of cards. I always wanted more. I was never satisfied. And that's, frankly, that's how collections work, isn't it? Our collections, they're never complete. And in those rare cases where we get an example of every single item that could be in the collection, well, then most of the time, it's time to sell that collection and start over with something brand new. See, very often, our collections, they reflect our lives. Are we a people who are actually satisfied? Are we a people who are truly contented? Or are we a people who are always chasing just a tiny bit more, just a little bit more? Are we a people who are contented with how God has provided for us today? Are we always thinking about that next 100 bucks that's going to get saved in the bank account? Or that next raise we're going to get at our job? Or upgrading to the bigger house or the newer car or getting this or getting that? How often in life are we truly satisfied with what we have? How often are we satisfied with what God has provided for us? See, I would guess if you're being honest, you won't want to say it out loud, but you're unsatisfied with the way God provides for you far more often than you'd like to admit. Martin Luther gives us an excellent teaching in the Small Catechism, something that we should probably be reminded of many times a year. He teaches on the 4th petition of the Lord's Prayer, which is, give us this day our daily bread. And then, of course, we have the classic Lutheran question, what does this mean, right? It means that God gives us daily bread even without our prayer, even to all wicked men. But we pray in this petition that he would lead us to know it and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. And Luther continues, what is meant by daily bread? Everything that belongs to the support and wants of the body, such as meat, drink, clothing, shoes, house, homestead, field, cattle, money, goods, a pious spouse, pious children, pious service, pious and faithful magistrates, good government, good weather, peace, health, discipline, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. What Luther's teaching on here, what he's expounding upon, is really what James has to say in James 1:17, that every good and perfect gift comes from our Heavenly Father, and our Heavenly Father never changes. You see, any good thing we have in our lives, it's a pure gift from God. It's a gift of His grace. It's a gift of His mercy. It's a gift that's undeserved, and it's a gift that's unearned by us in any way. But it's given to us purely out of God's love. The only thing that our lives have earned for us is punishment for today and damnation for eternity. That's the only right we've earned. It's the only wages that our sins have earned for us. And anything else we've got is a pure gift of God's grace and his mercy because he loves you. But how often are people satisfied with the daily bread that God has graciously given? Well, if we take a look around our culture, it's going to show that people aren't satisfied very often. It's become a socially acceptable thing and even a praised thing to covet in our culture, hasn't it? Politicians, they run on platforms of coveting. They promise to fight for whatever right you think you're entitled to fight for whatever is going to give you that satisfaction that you think you want. It seems like no one is happy with the daily bread God provides, that everyone is looking for just a little bit more. I know we can all think of people who act like this, who think like this, but what about the person who stares you in the mirror every morning? Are you happy? Are you satisfied with the good and gracious and undeserved gifts that God gives you in your daily bread? Are you thankful for all that God has richly and daily provided for the needs of your body and your life? Are you satisfied with the good gifts of God? Or do you think they're always lacking? Are you always looking for something more? Maybe you're sitting in the pew right now and thinking to yourself, yeah, I'm satisfied with God's gifts, but I could always be more satisfied. God has been good to me, but couldn't he be just a little bit better? If you think that way, you're not satisfied. You know the truth, and so does God. So where is it that we go from here? I bet at this point in the sermon, you're expecting me to give you some piece of advice that's going to allow you to be satisfied completely with the daily bread that God gives you, right? Well, let me let you in on a little secret. I can't even make myself completely satisfied with what God has given me for daily bread. So how am I going to let you in on that secret? To be true, God has given me far more than I deserve. God has given me more than enough to satisfy me. I should be completely satisfied, but I have an enemy that I contend with every single day, and it's my greedy, wicked, sinful nature. And I always want more. I'm never truly satisfied with the satisfaction that God has to offer, and I always want more and more and more. So what do we do? How do we fix this? Where do we go from here? Maybe the best course of action for us is to quit, just to throw up our hands and to say, you know what? I can't ever be satisfied with what God gives, so why should I even try anymore? Why don't I just live my life the way I want and just trust that God's going to forgive me? Well, the Apostle Paul would say to you, may it never be. Should we continue in sin, the grace would abound. May it never be. Let it never happen. So then what do we do? I can't make you satisfied with God's gifts. You can't make you satisfied with God's gifts. So what do we do? Well, thankfully, God can make you satisfied with his gifts. And God has done what is necessary to make you satisfied. And he did it in Jesus Christ. It comes in the all-redeeming life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because in him, your sinful debt has been paid in full. It has been completely and fully satisfied. You have been satisfied in Christ and because of Christ. So look to this truth of the cross, that it is finished. It is actually and truly and honestly and completely finished. And there's your satisfaction. Your satisfaction is in the cross of Christ. Look and listen today to what's going on here in your very presence. The word of life is coming to you. It comes to you not only in the fully satisfying word of God, but also in the fully satisfying body and blood of Jesus Christ. And even that is a foretaste of the feast that is to come. And that foretaste is fully satisfying for this life. Jesus said, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. When you leave here after hearing the word of life, when you leave here with the body and blood of Christ in your bellies and on your breath, what more do you have to worry about? What more do you have to fear when you have been satisfied in Christ and by Christ? This is my prayer for you. That you may be fully and completely satisfied with the satisfaction of Christ. I pray that you wouldn't fight against the Holy Spirit as he tries to open your eyes and ears and your heart to that fully satisfying reality of the bread of life in your midst and in your life, working for you and on you and in you and even through you for the satisfaction of others. When this bread of life truly satisfies you, which the Holy Spirit works in your life through faith, all of God's satisfying gifts of daily bread, they'll begin to satisfy you also. You'll be satisfied with the all-fulfilling peace that surpasses all human understanding. No matter your circumstances, in good times or in bad, in richer or in poorer, in sickness or in health, you'll be satisfied by Christ and in Christ. It's my prayer that you would be giving thanks in all circumstances, no matter what you have or where you are, for all that has come in Christ. May this fully satisfying peace of Christ, which surpasses all human understanding, and which is yours right now, this very moment, by the grace of God, may it guard you and keep you and guide you unto everlasting life. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. We are never satisfied. We are sinful people that always want just a little bit more. A little bit more, and we say we'll be satisfied, but when we get a little bit more, we never are. But in Christ, you fully and completely satisfied the need for punishment for our sins. In Christ, all of our sins are forgiven and there is nothing left. In Christ, we are made to be completely righteous. There's no more good that we can do to add to it. In Christ, we are fully satisfied. Help us to see it and understand in it and rest in it and live in it, Lord. Lord, by your word, continue to strengthen us for your service, that we might proclaim this message of your satisfaction to the world. Heavenly Father, we pray these things in your holy name. Amen.